Another thief exclaims loudly, addressing the Lord, O Krishna, Kvachit, sometimes, Utkantaha, being anxious, Vilajaha, without shame, Richati, he dances, Kvachit, sometimes, Kvachit, sometimes, Tatvavana, with thoughts of Krishna, Yuktaha, being absorbed, Tatmaya, thinking as if he had become Krishna, Anuchakara, imitated, Ha, indeed. Okay, translation. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. You can repeat. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him, and therefore he called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes. And in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman, but one must go still further to realize Paramatma, and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasha, Satya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry, Nadati. Again, a devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child saying, My dear child, do not cry, I am coming. Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, Here is my Lord. My Lord is coming. Thus, the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as the coward boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, there's many interesting points in this verse and purport, and just going to touch upon a few of them. So, the first sentence here in the verse describes how when Prahlad Maharaj saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would feel anxiety. Now, that's actually a very interesting thing. Why would you feel anxiety upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And this is also described and we're going to be reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a few seconds about this, that one of the moods of the devotee has when he's in the presence of the Lord is that he's in anxiety because there's going to be separation. And there's different two aspects to devotional service. There's sambhog and vipralamba. Sambhog means basically meeting, and vipralamba means separation. But even in the meeting, when one's with the Lord, one is in anxiety over impending separation. And even one may, there's an interesting story with Srimati Radharani, where she was directly with Krishna and she was crying at her separation. And this is a story that once upon a time, there was a bumblebee who was bothering Srimati Radharani. When Krishna was there, this is not the Brahmara Gita where Krishna was actually not present and Uddhava was visiting Vrindavan. So anyway, so Srimati Radharani was being bothered by this bee. The bee is called Madhu. And actually, it's interesting, in Hindi, even a fly is called Madhu Maki. It means a flying whatever, you know. That's not a bee, but it's like a fly, an ordinary fly. So anyway, Madhu. Madhu means sweet also, like Madhurya, Madhu. And so another person there was Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal, of course, is Krishna's funny Brahmin friend. And Krishna was there. And Krishna is also known as Madhusudana. So you got all these three Madhus there. You got Madhu Mangal, Madhu the Bee, and Madhusudana there at the same time. And Srimati Radharani there, of course. And so the bee was bothering Srimati Radharani. So Madhu Mangal was engaged in getting rid of the bee. And so he was just shooing away the bee and just like, get out of here, you bee, you're bothering Srimati Radharani. So finally he got rid of the bee and he wanted to reassure Srimati Radharani that the bee was gone. So he said, Madhu was gone. And he had so he meant one thing, but Srimati Radharani took it as another thing. She took it that Krishna was gone. And then she just like started to cry and cry. Gaura Govinda Maharaj tells this story in a very interesting way. And then, of course, Krishna also began to cry at that point. So Srimati Radharani was feeling this vipralamba seva even in the presence of Krishna. So a devotee loves Krishna so much that the anxiety becomes prominent even when they're in the presence of Krishna. And there's so many different emotional understandings there. Another point about the purport that was very interesting to me, before I read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. But actually we know Prahlad Maharaj's Stai Bhava is one of Dasha. He's a servant. I mean, he makes that very clear after Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev is offering Prahlad Maharaj all these different benedictions, you know, whatever you want. And then Prahlad Maharaj says very, very clearly that I am your servant and you're my master, and other than that, there's no other relationship. I mean, it's a really clear statement of his ras with Krishna, with Lord Nrisingadev. There's no question about it. So why does it say Vatsalya? And also, generally in the mood of Vatsalya, we have Krishna as the object or the ashraya. Vishaya. And we have the devotee as the ashraya. So in this particular case here, you have Prahlad Maharaj who's acting as the kid. You know, basically the Vishaya, and Krishna is acting as the ashraya. It's interesting, isn't it? Of course, the Acharyas explain this too, that sometimes in different relationships, the devotees and the Lord can switch their positions. In other words, the devotee can become the Vishaya and the Lord can become the Ashraya. Now, Ashraya means the person who the devotion has taken shelter of, or who's taken shelter of devotion. In other words, the Lord has devotion for his devotee, and the devotee is the object of that devotion. This is, you know, of course, this is a reciprocal relationship between the Lord and his devotee. So so when we hear about these rasas, it's not just a one-way street that, you know, that we love Krishna, but also Krishna loves us. And Krishna can also love us in different mellows too, which is interesting, isn't it? I mean, how Krishna can love us as his son. Of course, in the Western world, that's how they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada sometimes comment that, you know, they have, in a sarcastic way, they have made God a baker. You know, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So, you know, Prabhupada said they're making God their servant. But in this particular case, it's not Prahlad Maharaj is making God his servant. He's showing the mood of, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about in his surrendering principles, to understand that always Krishna's protecting one, Krishna's maintaining one. Those are the two of the six surrendering principles. And the others, of course, are not to have any other interest other than the interests of the Lord, always be meek and humble, to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. I'm not speaking them in order right now, because accepting favorable, rejecting unfavorable things to devotional service, those are the first two principles. So even following, you know, Sharanagati, there's sort of a vatsalya mood in Sharanagati, isn't it? If you think about it, that Krishna, not that you're approaching Krishna as your son, but you're accepting Krishna as your protector, maintainer, purifier, savior in so many ways. You know, please take this sinner weeping and weeping in your lotus feet. Oh, Gopinath, like in Bhaktivedanta Thakur's songs, isn't it? I'm a materialistic vassal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your love. So that's sort of like a vatsalya relationship where the devotee is actually the Vishaya and Krishna is the Ashraya. Anyway, it's interesting, isn't it? So in other words, the rasas are not so simple to understand. They function in both ways. That was the point I was making here, reading this particular statement where Prabhupada says, the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of vatsalya, filial love and affection, as a child cries when left by his mother. And also, Prabhupada said that when we chant Hare Krishna, we should actually chant in that vatsalya mood. That was Prabhupada's instruction. Crying out, just like a mother is crying out for the child's crying out for the mother. We should cry out for Krishna when we're chanting the Maha Mantra. And of course, in the Shikshashka that's mentioned, I Ananda Tanuja Kinkaram Patita Mam Vishme Bhavanka. I'm falling. Kripya Tava Pada Pankaja Stiti Duli Sadrasam Vichintya. Please help me, save me. So this is interesting. Of course, as you progress through the Shikshashtika, then it really transforms into Krishna being the Vishaya and the devotee being the Ashraya. You can analyze the Shikshashtika like that. That in the beginning, you know, what Krishna can do for you, or you know, what I have to do to approach Krishna. At the end, you know, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, you can leave me brokenhearted, but you're the Vishaya, and I'm completely the Ashraya. Isn't it interesting? With the Shikshashika. Okay. So now I wanted to speak a little bit about these different moods. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhyalila, chapter 23, beginning with text 62, you find these different moods. Of course, here the moods are described in relationship to the conjugal ras. And they're more prominent. There's more moods in the conjugal ras. There's more divisions in the conjugal ras. But by reading this, we can sort of appreciate the moods of Prahlad Maharaj and the moods of all the devotees in relationship with the Lord in their internal life of serving the Lord. So text 62 states, and I'll read the Bengali. Samboga vipralamba bede dvidvida shrinkara sambhogera ananta anga nahi anantatar. In conjugal love, shrinkara, there are two departments, meeting and separation, and actually in all the different divisions of relationships with Krishna, there are these two divisions, separation and meeting. On the platform of meeting, there are unlimited varieties that are beyond description. So here, Vipralamba, of course here Prabhupada describes Vipralamba in quoting from the Ujjala Nilamani, but actually this is a description of, also of meeting. Okay. And Prabhupada describes in the purport, when the lover and the beloved meet, they are called connected, yukta. Previous to their meeting, they are called ayukta, not connected. Whether connected or not connected, the ecstatic emotion arising due to not be able to embrace and kiss each other is described as vipralamba. Of course, this doesn't apply to Prahlad Maharaj, his particular situation. But Prabhupada here says, whether they are together or not together, they experience vipralamba. And that's somewhat in the mood of the description in the verse here where Prahlad Maharaj is in anxiety even when he's with the Lord. This vipralamba, in other words, vipralamba is practically a constant in the relationship between Radha and Krishna. This vipralamba helps nourish emotions at the time of meeting. Similarly, sambhog is thus described. So sambhog means the actual meeting. And there's a Sanskrit verse here. Meeting each other, embracing each other are aimed at bringing about the happiness of both the lover and beloved. When this stage becomes increasingly jubilant, the resulting ecstatic emotion is called sambhog. When awakened, sambhog is divided into four categories. And so these are the four categories even when you're meeting with the Lord. I mean, for the gopis at least. One is called purva raga anantara. That means after purva raga. Purva raga means the right before meeting. Right before meeting, you know, the hankering and expectation before meeting. That's a very brief. That means anantara means at the end. At the end of purva raga. That means purva raga is attachment prior to meeting, and this purva raga anantara is the end of the purva raga, which comes, is very brief when you first meet, or the gopis first meet Krishna, and it's called sankshipta. And then there is mana anantara, and mana, of course, is anger based on love. And Just like, I'll give you a practical example of that in Radha and Krishna's pastimes, that many times Srimati Radharani is waiting for Krishna all night, and Krishna gets waylaid by the opposing party. The opposing party, of course, is Chandravali. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, generally, of course, because there are exceptions, because Chandravali is a devotee. She's expansion of Radharani, who serves and enhances the conjugal loving affairs. But generally, we are in Radharani's team, or her associate's team, one of her associate's teams. And there's that story of Raghunath Das Goswami. The Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting, and he was brought some kheer, and he asked, where did that kheer come from? And it was explained that kheer had come from Sakhi Stali, which is the place of Chandravali. And so he got so angry, he started running after the person who had brought him the kheer with a stick as if to beat him. So anyway, so Srimati Radharani gets angry with Krishna when Krishna doesn't show up sometimes. He comes at the end of the night. Can you imagine that? You're waiting all night. I mean, of course, I don't have experience of this, but sometimes I'm waiting for someone a long time. Let's say I'm waiting for Gopal to pick me up to go to the airport. And he comes late, and I'm angry. But imagine waiting all night long. Krishna does that just to bring out this man in Srimati Radharani. He enjoys this. Or he mentions the name of Chandravali when he's praising Srimati Radharani. He says, your face is just like many moons, which is Chandravali. And she gets very angry, and Krishna enjoys this. So that's why we say Krishna is the Vishaya. He's enjoying all these different moods and wants to bring them out in a very interesting way. So anyway, so that's called Sankirna. And then another part of Sambhoga is called Kinchid Dura Pravasa Anantara. After being a little distance away for some time, and then you accomplish... there's Sambhoga, that's called Sampana, and then finally there's Sudura Pravasa Anantara. That is, after being far away, Sambhoga is called perfection. And also, Prabhupada explains the meeting. This is all from the usual in Nilamani, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this in the Jiva Dharma too. He goes into detail in the Jiva Dharma in terms of the stories that he tells. Meetings of the lovers that take place in dreams also have these four divisions. In other words, Radha and Krishna, because here it's described that it's Radha and Krishna you're talking about, not just some mundane thing. So these four different symptoms of Sambhoga occur even when Radha and Krishna are dreaming. And their dreaming is real. It's not like our dreaming that's an illusion with an illusion. And then text 63, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes Vipralamba, which is separation. So Vipralamba Chaturvita Purva Ragamana Pravasakya Hara Prema Vaichitya Akhyana. Vipralamba has four divisions: Purva Rag, Mana, Pravas, and Prema Vaichitta. And these are quotes from the Ujjala Nilamani. So when attachment, I'm not going to read the Sanskrit. When attachment produced in both the lover and beloved before the meeting by seeing, hearing, and so on becomes very palatable by the mixture of four ingredients such as Vibhava and Anubhava. We described that yesterday. Vibhava means that which stimulates you. Anubhava means the voluntary actions that you take because of that stimulation. And also indirectly referred to here is the Sanchari Bhava and the Ashtasattvika Bhava. So he says the four ingredients. Those are the four. Because the bhavas are called the ingredients of ras. That's how Rupa Goswami describes it. They're called the ingredients of ras. In other words, you take them together and it gives the flavor. It's interesting. And I forget the Sanskrit. There's an interesting Sanskrit word for ingredients. But they're the ingredients. They're what make up ras. It's according to Rupa Goswami. And what we're hearing described here is ras. Of course, this ras is in relationship to the conjugal relationship, but the ras means the taste. So this is actually a taste. This purva rag is a taste that someone experiences. It's an emotional experience. This is actually ras. So, and then then the next stage is man, which means anger. Man is a word used to indicate the mood of the lover and beloved experience whether they are in one place or in different places, the mood obstructs their looking at one another, embracing one another, despite the fact that they're attached to one another. I mean, you see that sometimes even in the material world. What happens when you're really angry with someone? You don't look at them, do you? I mean, I see that with devotees sometimes when they get it. And one of the devotees says, well, she's not looking at me. Why doesn't she look at me? Why does she avoid me? Of course, they don't have spiritual. It's not spiritual, man. I'm not saying that this is something you should just talk about and something exalted. That, in that case, it's really obnoxious. So we should give up our anger and not get angry at Krishna. That's not appropriate. Although, you know, you find pure devotees, there's that story of Raghunandana, who wanted, a young boy, he wanted Krishna to eat, and Krishna wouldn't eat, and he got angry with Krishna. There's a whole story that he took a stick, and he said, Krishna eat, and Krishna had to eat. But if you take a stick and threaten the deities, you will fall down. Anyway, so that's man. And then the next stage is called pravasa. Pravasa is a word used to indicate the separation of the lovers who were previously intimately associated. This separation is due to their being in different places. So in other words, and even previously, there's separation due to anger, even though they're in the same place. And then the final one is prema vaichitya. Prema vaichitya is a word used to indicate an abundance of love that brings about grief from fear of separation. That's what I talked about before. Although the lover is present. That's, you know, you just... You just experiencing that. When is there going to be this separation? And of course the next verse, I'll just read the next verse, otherwise it's getting too intimate here. Of the four kinds of separation, three, Purvarag, Pravas, and Mana, are celebrated in Srimati Radharani and the gopis in Dwarka among the queens. Feelings of prema vaichitya are very prominent. So, what we can learn from this is get a little taste of what pure devotees are experiencing. Pure devotees are continually experiencing, as described by Prahlad Maharaj here, like waves of emotions. I mean, like you hear the nectar of devotion is described in terms of different, of an ocean and different waves in the ocean. So that's very appropriate because the waves, just like if you've been ever swimming in the ocean, which some of us have, especially when there's big waves, sometimes you get up and you think, well, I just overcame that wave. What happens? Then, you know, then oh my God. Once upon a time, Mayapur Chandra took me to this beach in Hawaii and he said, you know, that's just nice waves. And the waves just like pushed me down, scraped me against the sand. And then I said, I got to get out of here. But then I got up and another wave came and did the same thing. Of course, and then I was angry with him afterwards. That's not a spiritual emotion. I said, you said this was a nice beach. And he said, it is. You just used a pejorative word. Used a sissy or something like that. So devotional, pure devotional service is like that. I mean, that's what we have to look forward to. And when we get absorbed in these different tastes, these are rasas, like I said, samagri is the word. Yeah, that's the Sanskrit. Rasa samagri. Samagri means it's ingredient. Ingredient. So when we take these ingredients, these emotions, then we can overcome bhava rog. Because there's that other statement. We talked about the bhavas yesterday, but also there's bhava rogue. Rogue means, of course, sick. Like Prabhupada said, you're either a yogi, bogi, or a rogi. Referring to how many times, basically, you pass stool a day. He said a yogi passes stool once, a bogi twice, and a rogi more times, three or more times. So this bhava rogue, which is what we're experiencing now, so we are meant to get into these spiritual emotions. Of course, to get into these spiritual emotions, it's not an artificial thing. You can't just imitate the pure devotees. But we can start with the emotion of devotion to, you know, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Just like the other day, I was listening. I was actually listening to a Vyasa Puja offering that Tamal Krishnamurti made. It was very wonderful. I'd like to play it this year. And it was he was thanking Prabhupada for connecting him, I don't know if you ever heard this one, with the different members of the disciple of succession. And he was going through all the different members of the disciple of succession, all the way back to Lord Brahma, and just thanking Prabhupada. And just listening to this, you know, his mood of thankfulness evoked, you know, a certain emotion in my mind of thankfulness and devotion to Prabhupada. So if we are able to evoke or stimulate those different emotions to Guru, to the other devotees, of course we're asked to have loving exchanges with the other devotees, not simply on the basis of ritualism, you know, I got to do this, then our material emotions will dissipate. In other words, they'll be insignificant at that particular point. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. It's an emotional process. Like Prabhupada said, we're meant to engage the subtle body in devotional service. Devotional service is executed with the subtle body. The gross body does, you know, we engage that too. But the actual point is, you know, Savai Mana Krishna Pararog, and the mind, which and the emotions are connected like that. Shuddha Habi Mana Kavi Hama He Rabo Shri Vrindavan. And when we're able to do that, then we can perceive Vrindavan and be detached from this world. So any questions or comments about any of the things, you know, these spiritual emotions and everything like that? I mean, it's exalted topics. Anyone who says that Prabhupada didn't present everything is wrong. I mean, this is Ujjala Nilamani here, the topmost subject matter in Ujjala Nilamani. There's many other interesting things in Ujjala Nilamani, such as the description of Radharani's associates, Radharani's pets, different things like that. But the essence of Ujjala Nilamani is presented by Srila Prabhupada in his purports to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, questions, comments, arguments, problems? Anxiety.
Yeah. It also means
ignorance. Interesting.
That's meaning of the word. And I'm not sure that anxiety really has been in Sanskrit. The connotation that it has in English is something that's full of fear and concern.
Anxious. Yeah, Prabhupada translates it here. It would usually means enthusiasm. Yeah, but Prabhupada translates it as being anxious. Full anxiety. So if Prabhupada would translate it like that, we understand it's something to do with what the previous acharyas have done. That's actually very important to understand that, you know, sometimes you have like a purported translation of something.
The thing, the word anxiety mm-hmm. has so many different layers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's different levels of anxiety.
The word anxious and anxiety are related, but anxious doesn't have nearly the
connotation.
You're anxious for something to happen.
The Prabhupada says full anxiety. You know, full anxiety means, to me, it means anxiety. Or he was loudly called full anxiety.
Well, in the sense of Balamaraj, especially because the whole pastime is one of a child in anxiety mm-hmm. being tortured by the father. So he's calling out. So it's leading into that whole.
But is there any description of Prahlad Maharaj being in anxiety because of being tortured?
No, but that isn't it. That is something
yeah.
that one would be.
Would be, but. Yeah. But my understanding of Prahlad Maharaj is when he's being tortured, he's just taking shelter of Krishna. But here it's mentioned, sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality, got it. It doesn't say when he's being tortured.
Well, he's in anxiety to be with him.
Yeah, to be, well, he's with him, he's seeing.
Yeah,
so it's anxiety separation.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, but if he's seeing him, just like the scribe we were just reading here, when Radharani is with Krishna, sometimes she's in anxiety because he's going to leave. Or a child.
Right.
Or a child is in anxiety when he's with the mother, that don't leave me. I sometimes would play like that to manipulate my mother when I was young. I said, don't leave me, even though I couldn't care less.